This is what I want to share with you today. And many of you have heard this. It's out of Malachi, but the Son of Righteousness, the S-U-N, capital S-U-N of righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. Are y'all familiar with that? Turn to Malachi chapter 4. Let's look at that. And I want to read this out of the Amplified, Malachi chapter 4. I'll just do the first three verses, I believe. But this is what was reverberating me. When I wake up and when I would wake up and watch that sunrise, there was only one morning when it really wasn't a good sunrise, the weather was in. But this just kept coming to me and kept coming to me. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Malachi, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud and arrogant, yes, and all that do wickedly and are lawless shall be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you who revere and worshiply fear my name." Now keep hold of that phrase. Those of us who revere and worshiply fear his name, shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams. And you shall go forth and gambol like calves released from the stall, and leap for joy. And you shall tread down the lawless and wicked, for they shall be ashes under your soles or your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Now we understand this passage, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time to drill down and explain this out, but the capital S-U-N is talking about the Son of God, the Son, Jesus himself. Amen? And that's what that scripture did for me. I have to continually remind myself that this life is not the end-all to be-all. This life in this earth right now is not the end-all to be-all. And I think we get trapped into thinking sometimes that this is all we have. This is it. Oh, this is it. This is all I have to go to work every day. You know, come home, make dinner, go to bed, raise up and do it again. But I got the weekend. Thank you for the weekend. I got Sunday. I can come to church and celebrate with all them good people. Y'all are the good people, okay? But some of us, you know, if we take that attitude, then it leaves no room for hope. It leaves no room for hope if we think that this is all that we have. Right? And hope is what Jesus died to give us. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he suffered an agonizing death. For you and me to have hope in a better life, a better time. If we allow ourselves to get bogged down in the day-to-day goings-on, such as coronavirus, heinous killings, rude and selfish people and behavior, man, we can fall into that state that Jesus came to deliver us from, that state of oppression. We can fall into depression if we think that this is all there is. If we focus on the day-to-day things that are happening in this world too much, we can lose our hope. Yeah. But we got to, I think, you know, you ever heard this, you ever heard that phrase, ducks off a water's back, water off a duck's back? You ever heard that? You know, some things in this life we got to treat like that. We got to let it just roll off of us. I'm not saying we ignore it. You know, the duck doesn't ignore the water that's on his back. In fact, they use the water to bathe in, to drink, to receive life from when they eat the stuff that's under the water. They don't ignore the water. But sometimes we got to let the cares of this world just roll off our back like water off of a duck's back, and not give it any more attention than it deserves. Amen? And it doesn't mean we ignore it. In fact, I would venture to say that we could use those things. Just coronavirus. The heinous, tragic death of George Floyd. The rude and arrogant and unseemly people in the world. We can use that. And I used to say this all the time. Many of you probably use this with your kids, if you have kids. But use those times as teachable moments. And what do I mean by that? Well, with this whole coronavirus thing. Man, I'm telling you, you should be going out boldly and say, look, I know this is going on, but do you know Jesus? Do you know the great physician? Do you know the one that can protect you from that virus? Teachable moment. With all the hatred and attention that the death of this young man has received, tragic as it is, that can not... Can I say that? I want to say the word use, and that's probably not very proper, but it can be a teachable moment, and it's a talking point for people to come together and say, look, there are things going on in this world that we need to overcome. Then that we need to move beyond because, you know, there... We all are descendants from Adam and Eve. Listen to this. There's no, in God's eyes, he says there's no male or female, no Jew nor Greek, no bond nor free. We are all God's children. And why? Why do people treat others differently? I personally believe they need Jesus. They need Jesus in their life. Teachable moment. That's just one area why people need Jesus. Some people are just rude. Some people are selfish. Some people want their own way no matter who it hurts or what it does. Oh, help us, Lord. But when we focus on the day that is to come, not on the things happening around us, we understand that none of what goes on in the world can separate us from the love of God. None of this can separate us from the love of God. In fact, Paul takes it further than even the things of this world. If you turn to Romans chapter 8 quickly, and let me share out of that his thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, I'm going to go down to. Paul says to the Romans in verse 35 of chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm sharing out of King James, by the way. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is, except you. You can willingly remove yourself from the love of God. You have a choice. We are free will beings. We can freely will to remove ourselves from the love of God. He's not removing His love. He is not removing His love. For you that don't feel the love of God, in your heart, I challenge you. Spend time with Him. Get into His Word. Ask. Simply ask. Talk to Him. That's what prayer is. Lord, I'm not feeling your love right now. This is going on. I got stuff happening. Talk to Him about it. And if you get in that place where you allow that small, still voice to speak to you, I believe He will speak to you and show you some things. And guess what? It may be a lot of things that you're doing. And you got to be willing to take correction from the Spirit of God. You got to be willing to submit yourself to that correction. Be accountable for it. And say, yes, Lord. Yes. We can be our own worst enemy sometimes. We can be our own worst enemy. Talking ourselves into all kinds of calamity. And then blaming the devil for it. Right? That's called blame shifting. Anybody ever heard that term? Blame shifting. You know, narcissists do that often. I don't know if they blame shift for things that they've done and they want to blame someone. Well, we want to blame the devil for everything going wrong in our life. Sometimes you got to look at yourself. Oh, this is a good one. Y'all are going to go out of here refreshed. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. We do. Sometimes we give way too much credit to the enemy for the enemy of our souls for things that are happening in our lives. And all the while, I believe he's just sitting back, you know, laughing. Because we're doing it to ourselves. It's like we're in that self-destruct mode. Y'all ever seen that Star Trek movie? Another Star Trek reference, I know. I'm sorry. Captain is in the ship, you know, and he's getting all the crew off of the ship because they're in imminent danger and they're not going to make it through. And the captain's going down with the ship and he's going to destroy the ship and destroy the enemy at the same time after all his crew is safe. And he hits that button with the countdown, self-destruct. You have 2 minutes until this ship is destroyed. Counts down. Sometimes we're sitting there hitting our own self-destruct button over and over. We need to stop doing that. But like I said, as I watched that sunrise every morning from my bed, it was beautiful. We had the palace, the palatial room up on the second floor, Nikki and I did. And our bed, they had two sliding glass doors on the side, and our bed faced that, and the sun would just beam right in that every morning. Now Nikki's like, close up, Kurt, it's too bright, it's too bright. I said, no, soak up the sun. But as I watched that sunrise every morning, it brought peace and calmness to me. Not only in the natural, but to my heart. It brought peace and calmness to my heart because that scripture kept rising up on the inside of me. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. In His beams is another translation. Or in His rays. The beams of the sun. The rays of the sun. The rays of Jesus. It reminded me of that. Anybody say, I forget the name of it. It's something Timothy Green. The Odd Life of Timothy Green or something. Anybody? Seen that? Okay, don't freak out on me. It's about a boy that grows leaves on his leg, okay? That's not the point, all right? Just forget the leaves on the legs, okay? But when the sun would come up, he's a boy, I don't know, 10 years old, something like that. He would just stand there, just raise his hands, and just soak up all that the sun had to offer. And I felt like Timothy Green without the leaves. Every morning, I just wanted to soak in those rays of the sun, those healing rays, according to the Word of God. Knowing that just as the physical sun, S-U-N, brings light to a dark world, the spiritual Son, S-O-N, also brings light to a dark world. And the spiritual Son, S-O-N, brings healing, spiritual healing, as in healing our relationship with the Father, but also, I believe, physical healing to a hurting world. And physical can be more just than your physical body. I believe it can be your mental state that needs healing. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Restore sight to the blind. Deliver those that are oppressed. Set free those that are captive." You can be captive in your mind. Did you know that? You can build up strongholds in your mind that only the S-O-N can tear down and set you free from. The Jews have a proverbial saying that as the sun riseth, S-U-N, infirmities decrease. That's a Jewish proverbial saying. Healing is in his wings, it says, or in his beams or rays of light that explode out of him. I just get that image. And it's not a... We don't have one around here, thank goodness. It's not an image of Jesus in a beard and the rays. You've seen those, the rays. I mean, that's kind of the image I get, but it's more of just a beam of light with just beams of light shooting forth from that. That's what I picture in Jesus sometimes. And that's what I was thinking of on those mornings when I saw that sunrise. The Son of Righteousness. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? We talked about this a few weeks ago. The woman with the issue of blood and how she said that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, and she would be made whole. And she did that. And Jesus was unaware at the time, but he swung around, he turned around. Because why? He had sensed virtue had gone from him, right? That's kind of the image I get where Jesus is in the middle of that crowd, right? And there's beams of these healing rays of light just shooting forth from him. Well, he was in the middle of a crowd. Did all the crowd get healed and delivered from whatever was going on in their life? Well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't record that, but it does record this one woman. And what did he say to her? "Woman, your faith has made you whole." So I got to thinking about that. You know, you got these... Just go with me here a little bit. You got these beams of light shining forth from the Christ, healing beams of light. And this woman touching the hem of his garment and him sensing that virtue had gone out from him. Well, he didn't sense that virtue had gone out from him from anyone else thronging on him. It says he was thronged. I mean, the throng is people are pressing in. People are pressing in. People are all around you. But this one woman, we hear about it in the Word, this one woman. And he says, "Your faith has made you whole." And so I got to thinking about it. I was like, I don't know a whole lot about radio frequencies, but I do know that you have to have a transmitter and you have to have a receiver. And if y'all know more than that, that's okay. But that's very basic and simple. You have to have something transmitting the frequency, and then you have to have something to receive it, the frequency. And so when I got to thinking about that, having a transmitter and a receiver, the transmitter's always sending the signal. It's sending a signal. Sending a signal. But if there's no receiver, well, that signal just keeps on going. That signal just keeps on going. And so I got to think of it like this. And hopefully this might help somebody in here today. If you think about it along these lines. Jesus is the transmitter. He sent out his signal of healing. Healing our separation from God and healing all our diseases. But our faith is the receiver. Remember, no receiver, and that signal just keeps on going until a receiver receives it. But if there is no faith, there's no receiver, it doesn't mean that there's no healer. It doesn't mean that there's no transmitter. It just means that we haven't received what has been sent. Does that make sense? That woman's faith received the healing rays, beams from Jesus. She received life. She received His virtue. And that faith of receiving made her whole. But not everyone in that crowd received. Not everyone. What did Malachi say in verse 1? Let's look back real quick. Verse 2, I'm sorry. It says, "But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise." You have to revere and worshipfully fear His name for the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in His beams, in His wings, in His rays. And I believe that's what that woman was doing. She revered, revered the Christ. And she was worshipfully fearing Him. Remember, she went trembling. She wasn't supposed to be there. She went trembling and touched the hem of His garment, and her faith is what made her whole. Her faith is what made her whole. So my word, my encouraging word for you today is, let's be receivers of all that God has for us. He's transmitting. He's putting that signal out there. It's like, you know, those rays exploding from His being. They're out there. They're going forth. Let us be the receivers. And let us receive through our faith. Amen? Because that is what will deliver us. You know, the word that came forth during prayer was, don't grow weary. Don't get weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And we can get to a point in life where we are what Jesus said He came to deliver us from, beat down, downtrodden. We can, if we focus too much on what's going on around us, we can fall into that oppression, and oppression will lead to depression if you don't check it. And if you get into that depression, that's when all kinds of demonic things, the door can be open to. And I think we've seen some of that. Suicide and murder. Did y'all know that there was... Nikki worked with this girl years ago. Murdered by her husband. Just right down the road. You didn't hear that in the news, did you? I'm telling you. If you allow yourself to digress into the things of this world that are going on around you, you will get into that state where it will open the door to demonic influence. Listen, nobody in their right mind, I believe, can take the life of another person. I don't believe that. I don't believe anyone in their right mind could willingly take the life of someone else, lest it be self-defense or something like that. But they have opened the door to something that has come in and literally taken control almost of them. But we are not that people. We are not that people. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a hope in the Lamb without blemish, the perfect sacrifice and what He did. We have a hope that there is a life to come, but that He died to give us abundant life now, and we can rely on that. Trust in that. Have faith for that. Be a receiver for all that God has for you in this life and in the life to come. And when you do, when you're encouraged with that, You can be an encouragement to everybody around you. You are the light of the world. See yourself as that light beam walking down the road with those rays of light shooting forth and touching everything in its path. See yourself that way. Get that mental picture in your mind that you are a transmitter of all of Christ inside of you. And let the receivers out there receive what you have. Amen. Let the things going on in this world around you be teachable moments for other people. And guess who the teachers are? We are the church. Somebody say it. I am the church. You are the set apart ones, the called out ones, called out of this world to a better kingdom. You are called out of darkness to light. You are called with a purpose to go into all the world and preach the good news and have hope in Christ. Amen? That is what we are called to do. And that is what I hope that you are encouraged in this morning. Paul said in another place, lay aside all the weights that are holding us down. And I'm paraphrasing. Cast them off. Run your race. We each have a race to run. We do. We are each unique individuals with unique gifts, unique personalities, unique ways of communicating. And guess what? God can use all of that to reach people. Amen? We just got to be willing. Have a willing heart. Right? We got to be putting it in so that we can give it out. Right? Amen? Wasn't God good? Are y'all encouraged this morning? If you're not encouraged, we'll stay here another hour. Huh? All right, y'all want to stay another hour. Let's go. Let me find my second sermon. I'm just kidding, guys. I don't have a second sermon. Well, Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that the words of the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts. Let us be encouraged as we see these dark days. Let us see the light of these days. Let us see through the darkness. Let your light pierce through the darkness and us see the light on the other side. And let us be able to communicate that light, that hope to everyone around us. Let us be lifted up, encouraged, built up, set free from anything that is weighing us down. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let that joy abound in us. I speak joy abounding. Abounding inside of us. The joy of the Lord. And like Malachi said, we'll be going forth from the stall as a young calf. How many have ever been on a farm? Have you ever seen a young calf out in the field just frolicking around? They're kicking their hind out and jumping all around. And it's really amazing to see two together doing that because they just kind of feed off each other, you know. They're just bouncing around like not even a care in the world. Well, that's what the Son of Righteousness can do when He brings that healing in His beams and we receive that from Him. We will go forth as calves out of the stall, leaping and bounding for joy. How many have been leaping and bounding with joy lately? Huh? Yeah, I know Judy has. Nothing stops her. She just, young calf you. I said that with all the love in my heart. I didn't call you a cow. I said, you young calf. All right, I better shut up. Is it hot in here? I'm sweating a little bit. Well, that's the word I speak over you as we go forth this week. Let you go out as young calves coming out from the stall, bounding with joy, carefree, love, happiness. And man, I'm telling you, when you go by a field and you see those calves jumping around, it brings a smile to my face. I don't know about you, but it just lights me up. Well, if you go out in the world and you're bounding about just joy and carefree and happy, it's going to put a smile on someone else's face. Amen. And it won't be because they're ridiculing you and laughing at you. They'll be receiving what you were transmitting. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you.